Welcome back, Survivor fans. It is episode 13 of season 24 of Survivor One World.
The penultimate episode.
Yeah, surprising given that maybe they should have gone at 6. Haven't they done that in the past? Started
no.
The last episode with 6?
No. There's usually 2 immunity challenges during the finale. And
2 tribals
5...
and that's it?
No, 3 tribals.
Well, 2 tribals and the final tribal, that's what
right.
It is.
3 yeah. tribals. Yeah, because they love to do that. That's always the ad, is 3 tribal councils, 2 immunity challenges, and 1 sole survivor.
And 1 reunion episode.
And 1 reunion episode, yes.
So what you're saying is Sunday night I should prepare for the 90-minute...
Sunday.
Our 90-minute podcast recap of death.
Yes. And I'm doing this all in my most excellent monster truck rally voice.
Right, Sunday, yes. Yeah. Something about Grave Digger.
The Bone Crusher. He crushes all bones.
Okay. So. We talk about Survivor on this show, right?
It's true. You're supposed to lead the joint here, man. I don't know. I'm just waiting on your cues.
What day of the week do we record the Monster Truck podcast?
Right. That's true. I mean, sorry, Ralph. I've been moonlighting as a Monster Truck podcaster as well. I got confused. I started mixing the two here.
You know, we're really late to the Survivor podcasting game, and I've always thought, like, wouldn't it be great if we could, like, start a podcast about like a show that's like just
right when it started,
starting,
yeah. Instead of waiting till the 22nd season,
but
to
how
with
could
it?
You know that it's gonna be gigantic? You know,
you'd have to. You'd have to cast a wide net. You know, you'd have to pick about 4
just
different
start
new
podcasting
shows.
Things, right? Like, yeah. Like we'll just start podcasting. I've been watching The Pitch on AMC. Like it's a reality show where 2 ad agencies compete to win a company's business. Based on their pitch of what they think the advertisement should be.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the way to do it would be to, like, you know, you start in the fall with, like, 4 shows or something. And then just hope that... And you start out by podcasting about all 4 shows. And so you won't have a lot of historical material to go on. So that'll help that you have extra shows to work with. And then, you know, in theory, one of them catches fire, and that's the show that, you know, ends up carrying you, and the others just fall off the podcast. I think that
and somewhere in you know iTunes store, you'll have these 3 podcasts of this show that didn't last 6 episodes.
No. What I mean is like you don't do like 4 separate podcasts for. The 4 shows.
Oh,
like,
you just pick 4 shows and talk about.
You pick 4 shows and you start off as just a television podcast, and then you narrow in. I mean, it's probably not a great formula. I mean, that would be like, I don't know. That would be like Talk Soup starting off just reviewing absolutely everything that's on television, and then eventually honing in on. Are they even Talk Soup anymore? Are they just The Soup?
I'm pretty sure it's just The Soup.
The Soup, because they're not even really about talk shows anymore so much as they're about reality
shows.
Yes. Or I guess both, reality and talk shows, which I guess talk shows in some sense sort of fall vaguely under the heading of reality TV.
Because they're talking about things that are real?
Right, yeah, because it's not scripted per se, depending on which talk show you're talking about.
Okay, well, if we don't start talking about Survivor soon... I myself might tune out, so...
Right.
Let's get back to it.
By fall, this will have morphed into a The Soup podcast, where we review the review show.
I know that
appeals to the meta in you. I know it does.
Okay, I'll say it, but there was a website that graded the mock drafts grades. Like, you know how, like... Kuiper will grade
Mel Kiper,
people's drafts.
Todd McShay, yeah,
they'll grade how people graded, and that's always good.
I saw a site recently that just launched. I forget what it's called, but it grades the graders, not the grading.
That's what I'm saying. They grade the graders, or
yeah, it's this site that basically like ranks sports analysts and stuff like that.
Fantasy football.
What do you mean?
Fantasy football.
Oh, where you like draft team owners and team managers?
You draft
like no, could I have you, like, you on my team?
You like if a guy if Matthew Berry predicts that Adrian Peterson's going to be the top back of the week and he's right, then he gets a certain number of points.
Oh, okay. So fantasy. So fantasy football like, analysis.
Yeah, Matthew Berry and Eric Carabell and all those guys.
Like, you're naming people I have never heard of, by the way. I'm proud to say that I decided to sit out the fantasy wave that has, you know, swept the world the last 5 to 10 years here.
It's a lonely little world you're in.
I was actually on board. I was on board with fantasy back at the very beginning, like, you know, the late 90s, early aughts when, like, you know, fantasy really started to build momentum because the internet had really become very powerful in terms of the things you could do with it, you know, interactively, etc. And fantasy was able to move from being, like, you know, this weird, like, mail order thing you would do, you know, for leagues to something
in the back of baseball magazines.
Right, yeah, and yeah, exactly. I remember reading the classifieds in the Sporting News when I was, like, 13. And seeing all the fantasy leagues that I thought I wanted to join.
Right.
And now you could actually have, like, instant feedback and stuff. And so I was into it then. I remember Small World Sports. Do you remember them? They were one of the big players.
I think I totally do.
They were big in the, like, in the stock market style fantasy leagues where, like, you bought a player, but then if a lot of other people bought him after you bought him, his price went up, and so now the value of your franchise went up or whatever. Anyway. Yeah. So I was on board then, and then it just became, like, uber ridiculous, and, like, it feels like you gotta have an MBA to be able to run a fantasy football franchise now, and that's just kind of silly to me, you know? So, like, I liked it when it was, like, a 2 or 3 hours a week commitment, and now it's, like, a 2 or 3 hours a day commitment for most people, and so that's just too much for me.
I don't blame you. Hey, we're gonna talk about Survivor.
Alright, fine.
Alright. So we arrive back at camp, and Tarzan is pulling Kim aside to give her some ideas, because maybe Kim's struggling with this game and needs input from Tarzan.
The whole scene is hilarious to me, because Tarzan basically tries to sell both Kim and Alicia at different points on how he just wants to get to number 4, and then he'll happily be voted off. And not only that, he will be your agent on the jury. Like, he will be out there, like, he will be your spin master. He will be out there hyping you, talking about how you are the person that everybody should vote for $1 million. Like, what? In what world does this make any sense to anybody? To Tarzan as a viable selling technique? To Alicia or Kim as, like, oh yeah, that's good, I'll take that. Like they believe that's going to happen.
It makes sense in a world where you're stranded with only 5 other people on a desert island, or a tropical island, excuse me, and you haven't eaten properly for 35 days.
I guess. I was just like, how does this... Does Tarzan really think that this floats? That this idea is going to, like, actually take hold with anybody here?
Well, before we criticize, let's at least be glad that he's trying something. You know, because for a long time, we haven't seen anything from the guy. And even Sabrina was like, he's going to try to start playing the game now. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, it was just funny. Like, and he also seemed to be very willing to just, like, let people pile on him. Like, those conversations that he has when it's him, Alicia, and Christina. And Christina's just very openly talking about how, yeah, I don't know. Kim would be tough at a final tribal council. And I don't think Tarzan will be very difficult to beat. And Tarzan's sitting right there, and he's just like, yeah, okay. I mean, I guess in some sense it's smart, right? That's what you want, is people to believe.
Yeah,
but it's just weird. It's just very strange to me. And then we end up, the next scene is Chelsea and Christina walking to get water or tree mail or whatever it is. And Chelsea keeps talking about this bond that Christina and Alicia have. Were you as perplexed about that as I was?
Well, I will say that Christina, of any of the people left, seems to be more allied to Alicia than anyone, which, again, makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. These two are the two that were ready to strangle each other.
It seems to be the case. It seems to be the case.
Like, I mean, I think it's the case out of lack of options, out of lack of
options. Well, yeah, no, like, you don't see Alicia hanging out with
Sabrina. That's not a bond. You don't see Christina hanging out with
Chelsea or whatever. It's just what it is. So that's who you've been paired off with, you know? Like,
yes.
You know, Chelsea and Sabrina are paired off, and obviously Kim's definitely there too, but Kim's kind of playing both ways, as she talked about. You know, she's trying to play all the sides. But I don't know if it's a bond necessarily, but she's aware that, like, Christina is heavily influenced by Alicia. Heavily.
I guess. I mean, yeah. For the first time, Chris, I actually thought
Alicia was, you know, holding some sway over some people. Because I genuinely thought going into Tribal that someone other than who went home.
Well, yes. I agree with you as well on that. But that's not because... it's not because I thought Alicia had any sway. It was more... we'll get to that. I just thought it was really weird that they were talking about them having a bond. And then apparently, I guess they do, because what did Christina do but turn around and run to her and start talking about everything that happened? So I guess the joke's on me, but...
Right. It just seems so strange. Doesn't make any sense for Christina to be in any way allied to Alicia. No, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I guess it really is just purely a lack of alternatives situation. Yeah.
And Kim points out in confessional that she's playing both sides, and if they corroborate their stories, they'll see.
That's the way it always is when anybody's playing both sides.
Yeah, but this is the first time she's really had to make peace with those concepts. But, you know, we knew we were heading for this once we got down to all the girls that, like, she's eventually going to have to, you know, show her hand about who she actually intends on taking with her.
Right.
Okay, cut to the reward challenge. They have to spin around, solve a rotating puzzle, and use the combination to drop a flag.
Yeah.
The reward is great, I thought. A day on a yacht with a shower and you get to sleep in a bed.
Yeah, that's something there. That's, I mean, a real bed, a shower, food.
Fresh clothes.
And, I mean, they talked about it, too. It's just, like, something about that, I think, you know, maybe it's just the act of getting on a boat and being out on the water or something. But, like, you know, versus just going to some barbecue on the other side of the island or whatever. Like, they talked a lot about feeling like they were getting away from the game, which, I mean, it's talked about lightly at a lot of other rewards, but I feel like this one, they really talked about it a lot, and a lot more than at other rewards. And, you know, I thought it was sort of funny, like, you have to be careful with that, and I guess for Chelsea, it was funny. At first, I thought she made a bad choice taking Kim, because, you know, she made this big deal about... You know, I'm going to make a fair choice after what happened last time. And she started out doing that by taking Sabrina, and then she took Kim, who's been on, like, every reward. And, you know, you knew that was going to end up chafing a few people. But I thought she was going to catch a lot of flack for that, but, it looks like ultimately this actually may have been a really great move on her part.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like she was going to be next to go, and Kim was totally okay with that. Until they went on this reward challenge and, you know, Kim started to feel guilty, it sounded like, about, you know, what the game had done to her and the way it had made her start to think and act. You know, she said, I think, maybe it was her, maybe it was one of the others, but, you know, she said something about, you know, not being quite aware when you're in it how much you kind of act like a savage in this game in terms of, you know, not caring about how other people feel about the way the game is being played and that sort of thing. And it seems like getting away from the game and having the perspective on the game, you know, made her feel a little more connected with who she really is or whatever, and made her then feel a little more loyal to a legitimate friendship, it appears, between her and Chelsea than, you know, what her own best interests are in terms of winning.
Yeah, I think we saw a real, you know, fork in the road for Kim tonight about which direction she was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of ultimately changing the way she felt, I think Chelsea did a good job of sort of salvaging whatever relationship was left there in instead of the game, you know, because I think Kim is starting to see the end of the road here and saying, okay, like, what do I have to do to get myself that $1 million? And she was very, very close leaning towards, you know, betraying her friendship for that opportunity, which...
Yeah, although the thing is I feel like, to be honest, you know, this fork in the road in terms of choosing between her loyalty and being true to her true personality and a relationship, a real relationship she's built versus, you know, who's it best for me to take with me in order to win? I think that's only a perception thing, like the who is it best to take with me in order to win? Because I really believe that it's really about spin ultimately. For her, it will really be about spin when she gets to the final tribal council, and no matter who she goes with, she has a pretty solid case to be made.
Yeah, a leg up strategically against anyone else you go
against
with.
against any two yeah. people there. I mean, obviously, it might be a little more difficult against Chelsea, Sabrina, maybe Alicia even, than it would be against Christina or Tarzan, or Kat. But I really do believe that she's still the best choice and really just has to come up with a way to spin it, and I have full confidence that she will be able to come up with the way to spin it.
Yeah, I mean, well, we thought Coach would take it home last year, but he kind of dropped the ball at the end.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's never been one with strategy, so, you know, so...
He wasn't ever comfortable with it.
Right, and so It's not surprising that that happened. With her, I would be surprised if that happened, because based on the way she's played the game, I mean, she played this game masterfully, and she demonstrated it once again in this episode. You know, when she ends up meeting up with Alicia after the reward challenge, and Alicia's talking about Tarzan and, you know, making a play at Chelsea, and Kim managed to take everything that was being given to her by Alicia and spin it just right, so that it was the message she wanted without it feeling like she was doing spinning. Like, without it feeling like, to Alicia, that yeah. Kim was actually massaging the argument.
Yeah, she made it sound like there's this wild card out there named Tarzan who is trying to save his own ass, and so, you know, this is the story he's feeding both of us. And I thought, you know, if you're going to try to make, you know, Alicia... you know, see him as an enemy, then this is exactly the play, you know. And obviously, like, then it becomes a matter of he said, she said, but Tarzan didn't even play it that way, you know.
Well, and she used the ammo that was given to her in terms of Tarzan talking about, you know, I'm going to be your agent on the jury and that sort of stuff. And I mean, there was a lot of sort of luck that fell into place for Kim in that. But nonetheless, presented with the opportunity, she definitely made the most of it and was able to really massage it into what she wanted without really leaving her handprint on it so that it was obvious that she had done it.
Yeah. I was concerned because it really seemed like Alicia had swayed Christina and Tarzan to vote for Chelsea and to hold firm mm-hmm. to make it a 3-on-3, which led to Kim feeling like she had to vote Chelsea out later on. But, you know, let's get through the immunity challenge first. So,
yes,
you know, it's a replay of
the
one
awful challenge.
Ugh. Two seasons ago.
Yes,
the fishbone
puzzle.
Sorry, puzzle.
Awful.
It was a
puzzle.
It's a dexterity challenge. That's all it is. It's just a dexterity challenge. That's all it is. How coordinated are you?
The one hand tied behind your back is definitely a major hurdle, and I will certainly acknowledge that, but, you know, to call that fish thing a puzzle is a little bit...
Last time, if I recall, they had to throw the grapple and, like,
yes.
retrieve the pieces.
I thought that as well, yeah.
This time, they had to hook the hooks together, which the 3 wasn't such a big deal, but once you got to 4 and 5, I thought it became a little more of a, you know, really you had to, you know, coordinate it just mm-hmm. properly, although
it still didn't require... Go ahead, sorry.
It still didn't require, like, an inordinate degree of figuring it out. Like, there still wasn't, like, right. a trick to it. You just had to, like, be slow and steady about it and not...
Yeah. Well, and at first I was thinking, like, I would just, like, you know, if you're only allowed to touch one hook at a time, like, I would get them all set up, laid down, and then do the hooking. But then I realized it looked like in each set of hooks there was one hook that was painted half red, half blue. And so you were only allowed to... my guess is that you were only allowed to touch the red part of that hook and everything else you weren't allowed to touch.
Yeah. That would be a lot easier. Just set the five hooks up with your one hand and just hook them all together.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. But they
had to make sure that the thing came out properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so in a shocking little twist, Alicia puts it all together.
Yeah, a little comeback for her. She was behind Kim most of the way, and then seemed to catch
on the
fire
last
a little.
Set of hooks, I think, is where she took it.
That's right. Yeah, she took the lead on the hooks. Yeah.
Right,
and
well,
it looked like it was legitimately close too. In that,
well, with the dropping
those
of
last
the,
couple,
the
yeah.
bones, yeah, that made it significantly more interesting.
Yeah, I think if either one of them doesn't have old pieces fall out, that person wins definitely. Ultimately, I don't really like this challenge very much. You know, a challenge like this where the only real challenge part of it is the fact that you have to do everything with one hand doesn't really make for very interesting television, I feel like.
They should still make it aesthetically pleasing where there has to be the shape proper, where there has to be a proper V where every piece...
Yeah, that would be much more interesting.
Smaller. Yeah. Because then you have to like look at the pieces and move things around and like that would be infinitely more interesting. Like every piece should fit in every spot, but it should only be correct when every piece underneath the top one is smaller than the one above it.
Right. When you said aesthetically pleasing, I thought you were going to say something like they should have to oil up before they start the challenge.
Hey, I got Chelsea in the shower this episode. So
that's true, you did.
I'm not going to complain. No. All right. Let's go back to camp for the scramble. Mm-hmm. Tarzan, for whatever reason, calls Alicia a bitch.
Yeah. That was weird. Like, it seems like he was trying to get himself voted out or something there.
Yeah,
like,
it was such a non sequitur. Or
maybe
he thought
was
it was
he
funny?
Trying, I think that's what he thought he was doing. I think he thought he was being funny and didn't realize that he doesn't have that kind of a relationship with them, you know? Like... I don't, you know, like when you have, like, I can see, like, girls who are, like, really close, like, calling each other bitch
hey,
or
bitch.
Something. Like, you bitch. I can't, you know, it's like when I mean, not that I'm close with Tiger Woods. This is, I guess, a bad analogy. But, like, when I watch golf.
I was not expecting the name Tiger Woods to come
no,
up.
No, you weren't, right? But when you watch golf and you see Tiger Woods or whoever hit, like, some ridiculous shot, like, all you, what I say is I go, F you, Tiger. F you. You
no,
know?
I don't say that. I don't say those things.
But, like, you know, I guess that's a little different because I'm not really friends with Tiger Woods, so. That was an awful analogy. I'm usually good with the analogies. That was a pretty bad one.
Well, forgive you, I guess. I don't even know where to go with that. So, Kim tells Sabrina that things are all set to go for Tarzan, but Sabrina has her radar up and, like, she knows that, like, Kim has the potential to... Mm-hmm. To betray her. And I like that about her, but I don't see her doing enough about it.
Yeah, well, and then, I mean, and then we also have the conversation between Kim and Chelsea, where they're talking about
what's
going
down. Well,
yeah,
I wasn't even there yet. Yeah, that was even bigger. That was even bigger.
That was just weird. Like, it seemed like she was basically, like, trying to let Chelsea down easy. Like, yeah, it's going to be you. But, like, didn't seem to want to do much about it. And Chelsea didn't seem to be too interested in doing much about it either. Then again, you know, knowing the outcome now, maybe now we know why.
You think it's an edit job?
Yeah, you know, I bet that was a conversation that was more of a, you know, playing scenarios out conversation than it was a, like, this is what's going down or this is the way the wind's blowing right now conversation. But they, you know, they edited it to make it look like it was a, you know, Kim letting Chelsea know what's up.
Yeah, the problem was the confessional afterwards where Kim shows her hand and says, this is too much of a risk for me to risk everything for Chelsea and Sabrina when I could take this and have an automatic ticket to the Final Four.
Which I thought was really dumb. That didn't make any sense to me. I understand what she's saying, and yes, that is a surefire thing, but like, I don't know. I think you could, if she plays the idol for Chelsea because she's worried about it.
This is exactly what I had in my notes. If she plays it for Chelsea,
it's game
then,
over. Chelsea, Sabrina, and her can
then
coast.
Then you have 3-2 next week, yes. And it doesn't matter. If yeah. one of the person wins the immunity, then you vote out the other one,
yeah,
and you
exactly.
have the Final Four. So
yeah.
it didn't make sense to me for her to feel like that was a problem.
Right. And Chelsea's not going to vote. Chelsea's not going to flip on you because you just played the idol for her.
Correct. And Sabrina will have nowhere to go. Like, what's Sabrina going to do?
Right.
You know,
yeah. Sabrina's been with you all along. Yeah. Those two are so trustworthy, and she knows
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like that was just odd, and surprisingly selfish on her part. Like I felt like
very.
She opened herself up there for criticism that could have come back to bite her.
If she did it that way, how could she possibly tell Jerry, look, I did it my way? No, you didn't. At the Final Six, you had a chance to have things your way, but you went
right.
with what Alicia and Christina and Tarzan wanted.
Right.
And you didn't stay with it. I think her best case now is she goes to the end with Chelsea and Sabrina. She says, look, I played this game the one I played. I brought my first and second lieutenant, and this is where we are.
Right.
You know? We're here at the end.
And,
you're
and I don't think
you're
up here.
You're the Rock, Jail Senior. You know, we're up here. You're down there. You know.
Yeah. You walked into the wrong goddamn room. Yeah.
She's playing Ed Burns, and the other guys are playing.
I think you mean Ed Harris, but yes.
Ed Harris. Sorry. Thank you.
Not Ed Burns.
Who's Ed? Is Ed Burns the guy from Armageddon?
No, that's Ben Affleck.
No, I'm thinking of no. It's a different character.
I don't think there were any Eds in Armageddon.
Maybe it was
Billy Bob.
Ed Harris.
Billy Bob Thornton.
No.
Steve Buscemi.
Let's move on.
Michael Clark Duncan.
I'm embarrassed.
Oh,
of
I know.
Myself.
Ooh, it was Liv Tyler. That's who you're thinking of. No. Okay. I really have no idea who you could possibly be thinking of. Was Ed Burns in that movie? Ed Burns was in Confidence. And
all right, now I'm going. Now I'm going to Google.
The Brothers
Ed
McMullen.
Ed Burns.
And
he
was on. And was on.
He wasn't Saving
Entourage.
Private Ryan. He wasn't Saving Private Ryan.
And was on Entourage as drama's buddy in the industry who would like save him for stuff. You know, he like produced Five Towns or whatever it was.
All right, I was thinking of Private Ryan and not Armageddon. Totally the same movie. Anyways.
Yes,
anyway.
Blowing up an asteroid versus rescuing
World
some
War
dude
II,
during
yes.
World War II.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Anyways, what
definitely
were we talking about?
The same movie.
yeah, she needs to play the loyalty card so that she can justify chopping the heads off that she did, which is all of the other ones.
Oh
you
yeah,
know?
And the thing is when she gets to the end there, like, I mean, yes, they were basically the three of them were basically the same person, but I don't think there's going to be any doubt amongst the other people on the jury who it was that was calling the shots. And so then it's just going to come down to whether or not they're bitter about it. But even if they're bitter about it, I mean, ultimately those three were otherwise indistinguishable throughout the game. That I think even if you're bitter, you still got to vote for Kim because it's like, you know, if you're going to be bitter, you can't be any more bitter towards one of them than the other. So, like, you should at least go for the person who was thinking for themselves, right?
If she takes two people that are equivalent to her, then yes. Then even if you're bitter, you give it to the person who, at the very least, worked for it.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that in really, Chelsea and Sabrina are truly indistinguishable, I think, when you get to the end. You know, like, in terms of how they played, etc. Like, I think everybody would agree that Chelsea was probably closer to Kim than Sabrina was, but ultimately, in terms of the way they played, I would say it's pretty indistinguishable, which is going to make it really difficult for either of them to sit at the final tribal council with each other, because you know that's like it's like MVP voting when you've got two guys from the same team, you end up with all these split votes. You know, even if people like the way you played the game, there's two of you that played the game that way, so you know you can really only count on coming away with half of those votes.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Alicia made a comment that she has a father-daughter relationship with Tarzan.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird.
That was so out of left field to me.
It was entirely out of left field. I mean, it's Alicia at this point, though. Like, everything is out of left field with her. She finally acknowledged, like, having a, what did she call it, a ghetto Puerto Rican woman moment or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was, like, her one moment of clarity on the island, it looks like. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, father-daughter, I mean, maybe they're just, I mean, ultimately, we do only see, what, 1% of the footage that's shot? Probably not even. Probably 0.1% of the footage that's taken there. So it's,
Chris, you
know
who would,
we're not seeing.
You know who would know that number?
Who would know that? Oh, you think Mike K from SoCal knows?
Yeah, SoCal Mike would know.
That's right, speaking of which, Mike K from SoCal, we got to give a shout out to for the corrections or the fact checking on our on the podcast from last week. Mike K from SoCal determined that it was in fact Jamie Newton from Survivor Guatemala who had the quote blindsided. Nice. Now that's how you vote somebody out when he was eliminated. I don't know, somewhere in 6th, 7th, 8th place, something like that. I'm sure Mike K will find out for us. He even sent us a link to watch the elimination. Actually, now that I think about it, it was episode 10, so that means he was probably 7 or 8. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm looking at pictures of him on Google Images and.
Jamie Newton
or
Mike K from SoCal?
No, SoCal Mike's not on Google Images yet.
Okay.
And I don't recall this kid. I just don't.
Who, Jamie?
Yeah.
I totally remember him. Like he was kind of like early 20s, like kind of a frat guy type.
That's what he looks like.
But like really kind of brash, I think. I mean, not that that's a departure from an early 20s frat guy type. But yeah, I remember he had a very cat type moment when he was voted out, just like Cats last week, where he just loved the game and loved what was going on and, like, you know, was just thrilled to be a part of it and to see the blind side. And, you know, the fact that it ended up him was just, like, you know, a minor detail in the whole experience. You know, like that he was a part of a blind side was just
exciting. A mild inconvenience.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Should we go to Tribal Council, I guess?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Kat because I thought that was a good place to start.
I was not going to be surprised if she literally didn't show up. Like and voted out of the last Tribal Council, but deciding to sit this one out, Kat.
The Queen of Sour Grapes.
Oh my goodness. I think she called them all bitches at one point.
She did call them all bitches. Breath. It was after Jeff Probst pointed out that she took her friends and then they voted her out.
That's right, yeah. And they're all bitches because Jeff just pointed out a fact. Oh, the sour grapes were so funny. And to just see her, like, it's even better when she's all, like, done up with her makeup mm-hmm. to be in, like, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In like, catty, pardon the pun, catty, like, early 20s. You know, blonde, looked like she's about to go out to the club and, like, mm-hmm. just snap at anybody mm-hmm. who thinks they're remotely in her league or something.
Mm-hmm. She looked less fresh-faced teenager and more resentful early 20-year-old who
yes.
is just mad at the world.
Yes, yes. Like, turns out I don't run the world. You know, that was the look on her face during the entire Tribal Council.
Yeah. It's that moment where everyone thinks they know the you know, in the early 20s when you think you know everything, you're recently out of college, think you got
yep.
life figured out, and you find out you don't know.
Exactly.
Jack.
Yes. Yes. She has the, I found out in the last 24 hours that I don't run this.
That people will see me as a weak player, which is like
yes, exactly.
my worst fear.
Apparently, yes. It's ultimately, it's actually kind of wonderful, like, you know, very poetic and very like, I don't know, like very storybook, like, you know, to have her greatest fear come true, you know, that her, that the thing that she feared the most and didn't want the most to be remembered as a weak player that, you know, didn't make things happen for herself, you know, be exactly how she ends up going down. You know, it's just very
Shakespearean.
You know, very, yes. I was just going to say Shakespearean / Greek tragic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate the storybook quality of it.
That was great. And that she got teary-eyed.
She cried even. I know.
She saw Tarzan in her tank top.
She was so tortured. She was just so insanely tortured. I really, like, it's amazing that despite being eliminated from the show, I actually now am even more so anticipating her at the reunion show than I was last week. Like, she was in this episode for, like, 5 minutes, had, like, somewhere between 18 and 25 seconds of airtime, and somehow she managed to, like, amp it up for me. I'm really looking forward to see, like,
it was a strong cameo.
It was. It was a really strong cameo.
Strong cameo.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was interesting? I noticed, and maybe this was telling of what was to come, but Tarzan, like, Tarzan was not his usual self at Tribal Council. Like, Jeff asked him a question, and he was
Are you
question
saying he
that was
lucid.
No, he was just he was very transparent in his answer. He was not coy about it. Like, this was a question that could be potentially damaging the way he answers it, and he was not coy about it. He talked about how he talked very openly about how he helped the women vote out, get the men out.
Yes,
which I thought
true.
Was really odd.
That was odd. If he planned on getting votes, that was the wrong way to do it.
Exactly. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that now, in retrospect, that he knew he was going home, so he didn't really care. You know, he knew he had nothing to play for in that sense. But yeah, I was totally surprised when that happened because, you know, until now, it's always been, Jeff, the game is afoot. I can't reveal anything. I mean, he literally did that in confessional this week, is talked about how the game was afoot and he couldn't reveal his plans. Like, to us. Like we were going to foil him somehow.
The producer was going to spill the beans.
I mean, it's not like I got, like, it's not like we got Shane on the island there with his toy, with his wood BlackBerry, and I was going to text him the answers, you know, as to what was going on around him.
How dare you invoke the wonderful Shane?
Do you remember that?
This guy is nowhere near Shane. Nowhere.
No. I know he's nowhere near Shane. I don't know. But, like, just an opportunity to reference Shane and his wooden BlackBerry. I went back and watched that clip sometime between last season and this season, and I just died laughing watching that clip.
It's amazing. It really is.
I mean, he was off the deep end, man.
Yeah. And talk about a guy going nuts for his kid. Like, that guy went nuts for his kid.
He did. He did. He was out where the buses don't run.
I've never heard that analogy before.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I love it, though.
What? You've never heard he's out where the buses don't run?
Never heard that before in my life.
Wow.
The people around me clearly failed in using colorful language.
I guess, because I feel like that's a really common one. And
that's good.
I wish I could take credit for coining it. I certainly cannot. I mean, this is not like Streets Ahead or something.
Like,
here.
Like the Pace buses aren't even out there anymore, you know? Like,
right.
That's how far right. we are.
Indeed.
Okay. What's left?
So the votes.
Oh, yeah, the voting. That's an important part of the game. I genuinely thought it was going to be 4-2, Chelsea.
Yeah, me too. I was very surprised. And the funny thing was, I feel like they didn't do a great job of building the drama. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just so jaded that, like, I've seen them try to build
group. I don't think this group builds drama. You know, like, there have been casts where people will talk and convey messages and we'll get to a point where you genuinely, like, are in a spot where you're like, I can't wait to see what happens. But this group just isn't able to do that, and Jeff can't pull it out of them.
I guess maybe that's it. Yeah, okay.
That seems to be the problem.
I was thinking maybe it was me, that I was just jaded because, like, you know, ever since Russell,
dude,
like,
you're
when
jaded?
Have...
You're jaded? Like, come on. Like, I'm the guy who picked Chelsea as his horse. Like, I was grumpy this whole episode because I knew after she won that reward challenge, I'm like, she's going home.
Oh, no. I don't mean like that. I mean jaded for the show in general. Like, they, like, you know, ever since Russell, especially when they really built up back in the Him and Rob season, him pulling off a flip, and I think it was Julie that he nearly switched over to, as they were going to split their votes, he nearly pulled off the same thing he did with Tyson in the split vote the season before, or two seasons before.
And you believe that Julie might jump?
And you believe that Julie might jump? And, like, I mean, I remember that moment. I was literally, I wasn't even sitting on the edge of my seat. I was standing because I had so much nervous energy in me that I was in such anticipation of what was to come. And then it didn't happen. And they've done that so many times since then, built up really fake drama where in retrospect you realize there was no way it was ever going to happen any other way than the way it ended up happening. But they've tried to build fake drama that I was beginning to wonder that with this episode, if they actually did do an equally good job of building it, and I just am so jaded that I saw through it and decided, nah, Chelsea's just going home, you know? Because I like you, was convinced that Chelsea was going to be the one. I mean,
yep. But maybe that is what they should be rewarded for. They edited it in such a way that it made it look like Chelsea really had it coming. And then they pulled the little switch on us at the end. We got blindsided this time.
I was just going to say, they took a page out of Kat's book, you know. Blindsides are fun and exciting, and you know, they decided to blindside the viewers.
Yeah.
So, I was very pleasantly surprised. Did not expect it to be Tarzan, and I like this play, you know. I'm going to be interested to see if, you know, if Kim can spin it. I really think she can, but you know, if she spins it right, if the jury will respect the, like, you know, I took the people that I said I was going to take, and I ran, you know, I basically ran the show the whole time.
Yeah, and we really are at the point, like I said last week, where Dalton Ross pointed out, like, we're going to see our expected champion finish what they started. But you know what? Even that has merit. You want to see the person who's earned it win it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
However
definitely.
Boring it may be. However,
yeah, when Rob won...
unsurprising it may be. You know,
yeah, when
you
Rob won two seasons ago, like, if he didn't win, you were going to be, like, frustrated and annoyed as all get out. So, I mean, you know, as boring as that was, you know, it was the fait accompli that needed to happen.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That was
you like that? How's that for some good. Colorful language? All right.
That's good. $10 words. I love it.
Yeah.
So Mike flips off Tarzan?
Yeah. What's his beef with Tarzan? What? Whatever, man. You two barely were ever in the same tribe, let alone, like, let alone an alliance. Like, I mean, whatever. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, I imagine he was probably flipping him off more just out of, like, all right, whatever, dude. You got voted out. Your moment's over. You don't get to have, you know, a parting farewell for everybody.
Is there a parallel universe in which, from the final six, Tarzan makes the final three and wins it?
Well, yes. But that's just because I believe in the multiverse and and the infinitude of space. So by virtue of there being infinite space, you know, not only is every scenario does every scenario play out, but also
every
scenario
is playing out.
It not only is every scenario playing out, but also this scenario is being repeated identically somewhere as well. And this scenario is being repeated identically somewhere as well, except my name is, you know, Juan instead of Chris or something. Just tiny, minute details are changed.
Flaps of butterfly wings.
Exactly, yes. What is the name of that one?
The butterfly effect?
No. There was... a clap of a sound of thunder, a clap of thunder. Is that the name of the Ray Bradbury story? Is it Bradbury?
You're over my head, sir.
I think that's the name of the story. Actually, full circle right here. I believe that was made into a movie starring none other than
Edward Burns.
It was a really like B movie that I saw in, like, I don't even know what. It was probably like a Stars Freeview Weekend or something.
How many years ago was that? I've got his IMDb
on, like, Stars 18 or something. It was in the aughts, I believe. I think it was called a sound of Thunder or a Clap of Thunder, something
like that. A Sound of Thunder, 2005.
Count it. And I believe that's a Ray Bradbury short story.
That's amazing.
That was made into... Is it Bradbury? Where's, like, original story?
It says, when a hunter sent back to the prehistoric era runs off the path, he must not leave. He causes a chain reaction that alters history in disastrous ways.
Right, and the chain reaction is caused by him, like, stepping on a butterfly or something.
Of course.
But where's the... Do you have the original story by on IMDb there?
Working on it. No.
No? All right, no. Well, Mike K. from SoCal.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no? Okay.
Wait.
This is the most scintillating 90 seconds of podcast.
There is a mention of Ray Bradbury.
Okay, there we go. I'll take it. That's good enough for me. We can close this one out now. All right. Let's put a bow on it, eh, Ralph?
Hey, I thought we ruled that out.
We retired it? I don't know.
You wouldn't let me.
We want to put a pin in this one? I don't know. That's like when you table something for till next week, I guess. I don't know.
That's all right.
Anyway, I'll get on it. All right.
Online presence, Chris, go.
Online presence. We are on Twitter at Tribal Podcast. The email address is podcast@tc.vanb.net. And our web address is tc.vanb.net.
While the role of statistician has been designated to SoCal Mike,
I'm going to call him fact checker instead of stat boy. Stat boy, I mean, like, you know,
I said statistician, but yeah,
it's fact checker. It's not statistician.
How about
I mean, he's not like
quality control?
Quality control. Ooh, quality control.
QC.
That's good. Can we call him QC?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Mike K? Let us know.
Anyways, the role of literary reference is still open. So if you want to write in, tell us about the works of Bradbury. Talk about the filmography.
Residential librarian.
Talk about the filmography of Ed Burns. If you want to talk about these things, you can email or tweet at us. We'll take it. And we'll see you back here Sunday night.
Yes. Don't forget to set your TiVo recorded on... Well, your TiVo should get it anyway. But if you're still on VCRs, make sure you get it for Sunday night.
I would expect that podcast to hit the webs about midnight or so. Does that sound about right?
No, Sunday night? No.
Oh, because it goes till 10.
Yeah.
The show goes till 10, so probably...
Sometime before you wake on Monday.
There right? you go.
We'll have it for you so you can have your scone.
I hope you get stuck in traffic.
Your English muffin.
Have time to hear the whole thing.
Exactly.
All right, well, on behalf of Chris, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a few days.